Welcome aboard. I'm Brad.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Scott. Welcome to My Ship Story Podcast.
This is a podcast where we invite crew members, both past and present, to tell their stories about life at sea.
So come up to the pool bar and grab a drink.
Sit back, relax, because it's time for
My Ship Story. Yeah, that was terrible.
I mean, I guess if we want to, we can let him in. Well, one, my brother is going to be high as fuck because he's always high.
Maybe I should get high.
No.
No?
We can't handle the truth.
You're hosting. Got my monkey bong. Got my monkey bong ready.
Leo, can you hear us? You're on mute.
He's like, what's mute, man?
Oh. Okay, wait. You're on sideways.
Why is my camera crooked? Hold on.
We're live real quick.
We're recording, Scott, right? We're recording? Are we recording? Okay.
I'm very not technical.
Runs in the family.
Yes.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom? Because pee is silent.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to My Ship Story Podcast. It's Eric here. I know I haven't hosted one in a very, very long time, probably a year, but I finally got some good characters to come on the show today, which I will introduce shortly. But for now, let's get started with Scott and Brad. Scott, what's up in your neck of the woods?
We haven't been on for such a while, as people will soon find out, but I got to put my glasses back on because everything was a blur. It's so funny that we've been out of this for so long that I was trying to edit our one that we're going to hopefully to come out Monday. You know, I forgot where I put all of the stuff, like on my computer, where I recorded them. And then I got it I got it edited. And then I have to put the beginning and the end on. And then that's in a separate place on my computer. And I forgot where I put everything. Other than that, we're just, it's been wet and the weather's warming up a little bit. And just, I'm excited for some sunshine and stuff. So,
yeah, we hit 71 the other day, which I was like shocked. But it was fantastic. It was shorts, t-shirt weather in January, February. It's pretty crazy.
Did you guys get hit with any of this atmospheric river historic, like the end days flood thing that's going on right now?
I think one of our guests did, so we'll save it soon to when he'll be responding. But no, I didn't get anything of that. Not over here.
Yeah. My uncle lives outside of LA in Reseda, and he was like hating on the news, and he's like, yeah, it's a drizzle. Like, for Oklahoma, you guys wouldn't even report this. Like, but I'm like, yeah. Well, they're evacuation and it's supposed to be stupid crazy and all the rivers are already crested.
The news always makes it a lot worse than it really is.
Yep. That's all from here.
That's all for you, Brad. What you got? What's going on?
Oh, not much. I was just down rounding up some cattle today and how it goes. And we were trying to load up some younger calves that had gotten older and we wanted to get them off the cows. And we have a lot of young calves, and we got them in the lot, and my dad says, hey, you guys want to try and tag these calves while we've got them in here? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem, they're young, we can do it, no problem. I go and I get my arm around,
talking about the ear tags.
Yeah, put an ear tag in them. Yeah. And I go and
what other tag were you thinking about?
I get one and they're small. They're like my size. They're like 150 to 200 pound calves. So they're really small. I just go and grab one. It just takes me around the lot. And I've got my brother, Chad. I'm like, jump on him, jump on him. And he's just dragging me around the whole lot. I'm like, jump on him, jump on him. So I just came home just covered in cow shit the whole day. So, but we got him tagged. We got him tagged. But other than that, it's been a good day.
But if I remember correctly, wasn't it a cow that dislocated your shoulder or something like that before?
Yeah, because you punched him, didn't you?
I did not punch cow. But guys, I've got to show you these videos of what cows can do to people. I mean, they can get you down and they just grind you.
And I am not picturing this at all. What do you mean? They roll over on you or something or what?
No, they just take their head and they just grind you into the ground and they step all over
with
you.
Their horns.
Now,
horns,
being that you guys are out there and you have the cows and stuff, like, so have you ever cow tipped one of your cows?
No, that's not a thing.
See, that's what I heard too. Cow tipping is not a thing.
No, that doesn't exist. No,
we tried that in high school.
Did you actually cow tip?
I hit a cow, but it was like hitting a brick wall. I mean, he wasn't pissed off and sleeping and stuff like that. But like we tried to tackle him, but it was like
nothing happened.
Yeah. Most of the time, cows are not going to bother you. But if they do, it's not good because they weigh 1,000 pounds at least when they attack you. It's not.
There's your next TikTok, when cows attack.
When cows attack. Yeah, there you go. But anyway, so we got some special guests for us today. We have a twofer. So one is my younger brother, Leo, and the other is his longtime friend and by proxy, my longtime friend as well, Romel Paxson. So Leo, Romel, welcome to the show.
Howdy.
Hello.
Okay, Leo, you might remember Brad or might not, because you guys never met, but remember that time where you got stopped in Oklahoma by the police?
Yes.
Brad was the one who was going to bust you out of jail.
Oh, copy. He lived nearby.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it wasn't that close, but close enough.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's horrible. Why always a horrible time?
You don't like Oklahoma?
No, I hate Oklahoma. I hope I never go there again. And Chad has a brother named Brad. Lord Jesus.
Yes. And another brother named Thad.
Oh my God.
Thad. Chad, know. Brad, Thad, and Romel.
So Scott also.
Well, Romel's family is a whole different story with the. Yeah. They all rhyme as well. They're all ours.
Scott also lives in Oklahoma. He lives in Oklahoma City.
Did I ever meet Scott anywhere?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Because you never came on a ship
when
I worked at sea, right?
No.
No. Okay.
None of us ever did we? Mom and Dad didn't go on one, did they?
Yeah, they did. They took like 2 or 3 cruises with me.
Oh, I never did. I was busy.
Yeah, of course. What was the first ship and how did you get that job?
The first ship, we all auditioned, me and a bunch of us, because we were being laid off at Disney. So we all went and auditioned for this ship that was like a day cruise to Bahamas and back, like from Miami, from Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Right,
and I literally rehearsed for 2 weeks. The day I stepped on the ship, I gave my 2 weeks.
that good?
That good.
That doesn't sound familiar. How did you guys first meet? Like, Romel, did you do Japan as well, Disney?
No, World Dancers. We met at World Dancers.
In Orlando.
Yeah, at Disney.
That was at Disney. Epcot, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what year was that?
93.
Okay, so it was just like the year before. Because you were in rehearsals in 94, because that's when the earthquake hit.
No, we were in rehearsals in 93. We came back for rehearsals. Our ship dry docked and they flew us back to LA and we rehearsed in LA.
Ah, okay.
And that's when the earthquake hit.
So let's go back. So Romel, for you to join ships, was it the same thing? You just went to an audition?
Princess Cruises, they usually had like part of their audition tour, they would go to Orlando. And it just so happened at that time, we got a notice from World Dancers that they were going to close our show. So a whole bunch of us went. And basically that cohort of performers, I would say like over 80% of them were the cast from Disney that we all came from.
Oh, wow.
There were probably like 3-4 ships that were rehearsing at LA at the same time we were.
Four
ships, right. Yeah.
And so how did you get selected to go? Because you guys ended up on the Fair Princess, correct?
Yes.
Because I am fierce. They're like, we want him.
I wasn't put on the Fair Princess. I was put on the original Love Boat, the other one, whatever it was called.
Pacific Princess.
I was put on the Pacific Princess in Europe. Right. But I asked to be switched to Romel's ship. So me and another guy switched spots. Me and Gary.
And they just agreed?
And yeah, they shouldn't have, but they did.
I shouldn't have.
We are trouble.
And who did the assignments back then? Was it Carrie Lovegrove? Was she doing them?
No, it was Fabian who did the assignments.
Fabian and
Carrie too. Carrie was there.
Or something.
Carrie Lovegrove was above Michelle. Michelle was teaching shows.
Well,
it was Carrie. Remember the little British chick with the curly hair?
I know Carrie personally because I worked at Princess for a long time, right. Which of course I failed to mention that you have previously worked on Princess.
You shouldn't have, because, yeah, as
yeah, so you so two will find out why I failed to mention that my brother worked for Princess. So, okay, so why don't you guys tell us a little bit? Just, we're open to whatever stories you have, short story, long story, anything that happened on board that you guys would think is interesting, funny, shocking.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll.
We have all of those stories. Ramel also worked on Royal Caribbean. He did a contract on Royal Caribbean as well.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was that before or after?
That was after.
Okay, well, let's get to some Princess stories, then we'll switch over to some Royal stories.
My name is Leo Alvarez, and this is my ship story.
Hello, my name is Roma Paxton, and this is my ship story. We boarded
Hawaii,
and it was a 10-day cruise.
That's a pretty nice itinerary.
And we spent the night.
Yeah, Hawaii. I mean, I was like, I look back now, I was like, what was I thinking? But you know, when you're young, I was in my early 20s, and I didn't appreciate like the value of seeing these great places. And,
yeah, because we were ship, Romel. What island was it? We were the first ship to stop at some random island.
Christmas Island.
We were the very first cruise ship ever to stop there.
Wow.
And
Christmas Island?
Yeah, there was no one. There was natives, like little kids standing there. There was no one there. A guy took me around the village and showed me his hut where 20 of his family lived and slept on the floor. There was nothing there. Nothing.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing that you would go to Christmas Island, because that is not a normal cruise line stop.
Yeah, that's out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. And we were the first ship ever to stop there. But as we kept coming back, they had a children's choir singing. They had like made like jewelry out of nothing. Ramel, we would take our fruit and gum and candy with us and hand it out to all the like kids there and stuff. They'd never seen an apple before. They didn't know what to do with an apple. Yeah.
Was this a scheduled stop, or was this a like, okay, we're gonna start going to Christmas Island and
it was
see how it goes, or
scheduled stop? Yeah. And it stated it was in our route the whole time we did it.
Well, Princess is known for their itineraries. They have like worldwide itineraries still to this day. They go a lot more ports than I would say like a lot of the standard cruise lines like Royal and some of the other ones. Princess has pretty nice itineraries that stop everywhere. So you guys, when you guys went to work on board, you weren't just dancers, but you were crew staff dancers, correct?
Oh yeah. We worked our asses off. It's one of the hardest jobs.
Was called swanning. Did you guys ever have to swan?
Swanning.
Oh yes.
Swanning.
Well,
where you guys just go around the ship and like introduce yourselves, talk about how their day was, their itineraries. We would have like a little bar tab because we were crew staff, and we would like supposed to buy drinks, get everyone a little sauce. But then there was one point I was having such a good time that I used my tab to like buy a round for everyone at the bar.
Oh, wait a minute. I need to come in on this.
And everyone's like, we love Romel.
Let's go back.
The crew, they were like, you can't do that ever again.
You got to go back. First of all, he did that on a night that was a one-night cruise. We had just
like a party cruise. It was like a chartered cruise or something.
We had never did a one-night party cruise ever, right? And all of a sudden, we were doing Mexico at this point, and we had one night where it was a 24-hour party on the boat, like one of those crazy, I don't know why they did this, but they did this. And we usually did 10, 11 days, 14-day cruises. And we had one 24-hour party cruise. And Ramel walked into a bar with all these people and said, drinks on me! And put it on our tab for the cruise.
Do we remember how much that was?
I don't know.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been thousands.
It was probably not
a thousand. No, I probably went double my limit or something like that. Like it wasn't extraordinary, but it was like, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Like that's for the whole cruise. You can't just
in one night.
That's when you come to me as the crew purser.
You'll just move it over to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, hey, there's some engineers that never go out, and we'll just kind of move that over their tab, and you're good.
I'm sure it's all very fluid, right? Week to week.
Yeah.
So we now you know how the cruise directors
were kind of shady as well. What's that?
We answered to the cruise director. really, yeah. Directly. So that's who we dealt with. Then?
There was a Peter.
We had a different guy first, and then Peter came.
Pizza.
Every time there's this thing called, what is it called? Tendery, when the tenders come. So if you were ever late to any of your events, to anything, if you were late, you'd have to take over the tender, which you'd have to be there at 5:30, 5 in the morning.
Right.
And you had to deal with passengers that were screaming at each other because these people are, oh my God, they're awful. They fight for a ticket. Like, you're right behind them. What do you care? They were awful. The passengers, oh my God. I used to teach all the dance classes to all the passengers. It was horrendous. They would attack me for these dollar bills that we'd give them. It's not even real money. I would scream at them, here, take them. And I'd throw them. I would throw them at them because they would attack you for a fake dollar. I'm like, what are you, people are crazy. I was not happy on the cruise ship. Let me just say that.
Normally you're really good about being on time. So
now, are you late? Okay. I was late on the ship all the time because we were also partying really hard every night. We could go to the disco. We could go wherever we wanted. We were the last ones to close the disco every single night. Drunk as skunks, crawling back to our cabins or to someone else's cabin or wherever.
Did you guys have a curfew back then?
No.
Wow.
No, you didn't have to show up.
You just had to be where you needed to be. And we were allowed to party. We were allowed to do what we did.
Yeah,
you
know? We had Tad.
But we were, the comment cards were like, Leo and Ramel, Ramel and Leo, Leo and Ramel. The passengers loved us. But we were, you know, we liked to party. So we were out dancing all night with them and, you know, doing crazy stuff. Like, the captain loved us. Everybody loved us. We were friends with the Filipino workers. We were friends with all the Mexican workers. We were friends with everybody. Like, we, the pool man would come down and smoke with us. We had everybody, like the cleaning guy, like everybody loved us. You know,
why was that?
Because we sort of supplied everybody with anything they needed.
Like?
With whatever they really needed. I mean, we had access to things, especially when we got to Mexico. So I love to smoke pot and we would try and find it wherever we could. Like in Papiete, we had this prostitute that Ramel met and she would get us stuff. There was also in Papiete, if you don't know about Tahiti, they have a lot of like transsexuals there. And this was in 90, whatever. Like there was trans people everywhere. Like it's part of their culture somehow. So they had a lot of French sailors too. And oh my God, there was so much partying going on there. It was insane. That was when I chipped my tooth. Yeah.
Well, tell that story.
So we were so all the casino guys we were really good friends with and the casino chicks, we hung out with everybody because we party. And we were at some drag show. I was twisted and we're walking out and one of the guys gives me a beer and says, take a drink. And I take a drink and I fall face first, boom, flat on my face like that with the beer. And I was like, oh, and they're like, swig the beer. You're bleeding. Swig the beer. And I swigged it and I spit it out. And the guys are like, don't waste it. Swallow it. So I ended up getting like, they carried me. They had to carry me back. I barely remember, but I got teased. They took out these guys. I still had a dance belt on. If y'all don't know what a dance belt on, it's what dancers, boy dancers wear, and it holds your junk. It's like an elastic.
Like a
and
chalk they, strap, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of, but it's very tight, and it's like an elastic, and it's like a G-string. It like goes up your ass. Also, they took out my contact lenses.
Who did?
The guys. These straight guys that worked in the casino and they changed my clothes and they were making fun of my dance belt for like ever because I was still in a dance belt.
But I don't understand why they took out your contacts. Like
I was
they put
drunk.
Him in the bed. Yeah, so they were like the taking out his contacts.
Okay. Well, I think the most of us on this call have been put to bed by someone or another working on a ship.
For sure. I got put to bed a few times on a ship and I'm not a big drinker. Like I was on the ship, obviously, but I mostly played with passengers, not really crew.
Well, there, Scott, you got the answer to your question.
Well, there we go. I didn't even have to ask.
I mostly slept with passengers. I had a threesome with a couple.
A gay couple?
And I also slept with a crew member. I did a little Mexican guy. Not really my type, but it was fun.
Well, so on that, I mean, this is a little premature down the line, but so where would you say the strangest place you did it on the ship?
I didn't do it in strange places. We had our own cabins.
So
we had
our own, like, lifeboat or the cruise director's desk or like in the casino.
No, because we
well, you know, you never know where the cameras were. You know what I mean? They had like cameras that, and some cameras they would broadcast to the whole ship. You know, like there's the one camera that goes.
Yes, and it broadcasts from the back.
I was like, oh my God.
But we had our own cabin.
Everyone just see us?
It's easy when you have your own cabin. I had four beds in my cabin.
Four beds?
No.
Yeah. It was two bunk bed things. It was huge. We had a really big, we had great cabins.
Well, because you have to have a bigger cabin if it's going to have four people in it, size-wise.
Right. So, but I had my own, every single dancer had their own cabin because we did crew staff. And on this cabin, there was this one section of the ship and it was our own section. Like there was no other crew down there. It was us with the hostess. Who else was down there, Ramel? One of the chefs.
And
the athletic girl.
The PE girl.
The PE girl. The one in the gym.
The athletic PE girl.
Aerobics,
like a sports director person, kind of,
and the children's person.
Oh yeah,
they all lived down with us, and it was just the dancers.
Now, Ramel, while we're on this, did you hook up with passengers and or mostly or both or where's the wildest place you ever did?
I was sort of sleeping around the first cruise. The second cruise, I had a steady. So I didn't have to sleep around. I mean, I sort of did, but it was always there. So
okay, so tell us, you know, in detail what happened on the Fair Princess.
When we first got on the ship, obviously we went to Hawaii and we did all that, and we figured it out somehow there. It was a lot harder for us to find any kind of party drugs or anything of the sort. So it was a lot more difficult. We did find the prostitute in Papiete, and that helped us out. We also had passengers.
That sounds so wild.
Wait.
She didn't know she was a prostitute until we were.
She told us she was a prostitute when we were smoking a joint with her.
What's that?
She was very pretty though and nice. She was very pretty and nice. She was young.
You said passengers were helping you too?
Well, passengers that had weed that we'd figure out because we were the party people, they would invite us to smoke their joints that they brought with them. We had quite a few of those that happened quite a few times where certain passengers had party and they'd be like, hey, you want a party? We'd join them in with the party. So usually we got invited to a lot of parties too that way. So that happened a few times along the way with all different kinds of things. So finally, when we got to we made it back to LA because we did the cross Pacific. From Hawaii to Mexico, right? We went all the way across like 5 sea days or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Well, okay, but you didn't quite make it to the other side of the Pacific.
It's about five.
We made it to Mexico from Hawaii.
Right.
We had to split, what do you call it? Like our contract, like half of it was Hawaii and then the rest of it was Mexican.
You didn't go like all the way around. Like you went through.
No. So we finished Hawaii and then we're like, okay, we're going to do.
We went all the way across from Hawaii to Mexico.
Right.
So then we took our cruise up to LA. So then we did LA, Mexico. So we would go down LA and Mexico. So LA, we ended up meeting a cab driver who would sort of hook us up and he would come pick us up and he knew we'd give him the date we were coming back. So we would meet that cab driver and he would take us to go shopping for the other things. And then we would come back. We had the same kind of guy in Acapulco. So by the time we made it to Acapulco, we were running out. So we would get more. We were very friendly people. So we would invite everybody, you know, the pool guy, this Italian guy who made the pizzas.
The security guys, come on.
He didn't speak a lick. Security knew us. They loved us. We were in charge of the shotguns for pool. Like, let's go back a little. I've never shot a shotgun in my life. And I turned 22 on the ship. I've never shot a shotgun, but I'm in charge of shotgun.
The skee ball.
Whatever it is.
Skeet shooting.
Yes, ammunition, and it was a shotgun that you shoot. I was 22 and in charge of that. Ramel as well. And we'd never shot anything in our lives. These old men are like, just give me that. You know,
they're all, we were supposed to check if they were drunk or not. We didn't care.
The point that I was in charge of 575 passengers' lives, like I was the head of a muster station. People, don't go on that ship. It's insane that they would put someone that's 21 years old in charge of 575 passengers' lives when I had been on a boat for a week.
Yeah, but they do that based on your crew number, and they figure that you're in front of passengers anyway, so that you would know who the passengers are, where
should. That is not a logical way of thinking. That is not logical.
I was in charge of a life raft, not a life boat, but a life raft my first day on board. And
all of them. I was supposed to have an escape route for all these passengers. I was 21. I was 21 when I got on the ship. And I was in charge of all those passengers' lives 2 weeks into it because the other crew left. As soon as they left, I was in charge. That's a joke. We're not even getting to the other stuff yet.
You never got searched when you were going on the ship?
No. They weren't really.
They loved us. Security.
No, I mean, this was pre 9/11. You know what I mean?
Security loved us.
McDonald's. We were bringing in bags. We were bringing in food.
Ramel had a what was that thing we would cook on in your room? What's that called?
Like a hot plate.
I had an electric wok.
He had an electric wok, and we would steal stuff from the buffet and then cook it in the wok.
stir fry. Grab some mushrooms.
Remember? Grab this. Oh, grab that. And we'd like celery and onion, and we'd from the salad bar, we'd like cook it up later in his room.
Like when they did crew rounds, they never went to your cabins because you guys were like officers and stuff. So
they went to our cabins. We weren't.
No, they didn't.
Because they would have confiscated
everyone's cabin.
I don't remember anyone coming in my cabin.
Yeah, I mean, because if they had seen a walk in your cabin, they probably would have been like, oh, no, hell no.
I don't know. Maybe they're pretty lax. I mean, because even like the bunks, I took the beds out and rearranged it. So it wasn't like four bunks. I actually had like one bunk and like mattresses over there. So I had like a place to stand, and they didn't ever really.
Moving on to ships are crazy for putting me in charge of anybody's life. So we had our two people, right? We had the LA guy. We had the Acapulco guy. And as you know, things got on. We invited the pool boy. We invited one of the cleaning people. You know, everybody sort of knew, you know, that we partied. Everyone knew. We did get a little out of hand, We were, you know, we did our job. We were good at our job.
What does that mean? You got a little out of hand.
Well, I think more people knew than we should have, and we sort of kept it in our rooms, and we, you know, we were young and stupid. Basically. It wasn't a secret that was well kept.
Hey, you want to smoke? Hey, you want to smoke?
At one point, this was actually this was our last cruise, Mexico up to LA before we went to Alaska.
You guys bring the prostitute on too?
We were. No, I did not.
She didn't have her papers.
She could not. We couldn't do that. And we were headed to Alaska. So it was our last cruise. We were in Acapulco. We met the man. Da 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 da. Next thing we know, we're getting on the ship. Do you remember how this sort of went down? I remember bits and pieces of it because it felt like a movie.
I think that was the time we had 8 people in my cabin all smoking pot at the same time.
No, because
it was just one of those things you could not hide.
No, the smell just goes everywhere.
Yeah,
right.
And so literally, we were like, "Oh,
I'm channeling Cheech and Chong, like you know, in a hot box,
completely." Yeah. So then we had heard that they were looking for us, when we got on the ship, we had already heard that they were looking for us, the two people and the security guys, and so we took it and we hid it somewhere on the boat. I think I don't know. Where they told us, take it out of your room, hide it somewhere else on the ship. So we took it and we hid it somewhere else on the ship. They're looking for us and we're like bing-bonging around to other places. There was another guy with us who I don't remember. He was British, I think. And we were bing-bonging around, like trying to avoid them. They finally caught us. They chased us around. It was like a movie, literally, like they found me. And then
they were literally chasing us. Like we weren't like running. They were just trying to, I mean, it's a big ship, right? Where's the remote?
Yeah. And we were sort of bouncing around. It wasn't like we were being chased, but they were looking for us and we were both being separate and not together. So it was like a chase in a sense, but a walking chase, a fast walk-based chase.
Walking chase.
So then finally they have us both and they're like, oh my God. And they take us they're like, where's the stuff? And we're like, no. And they're like, duh. And then we finally said, okay. And that was like one of the most that we had gotten. And it was literally a brick, like a brick of marijuana, like a brick of compacted marijuana, a brick. Take us to the captain. I recall the captain being very upset, not at us. He told us that someone told on us is what I remember him telling us. That someone actually told on us, and that's the reason that he had to kick us off. Because if no one would have told on us, he would have never kicked us off of the ship.
He would have joined you for some smokes.
So suppose, because we were very popular. Everybody liked us. We are still a good time. The captain saying someone told, so we have to let you go. They should have turned us in to the Mexican authorities because legally we got caught in Mexico.
Well, you were still docked in Mexico or the ship left?
As it was going out was when everything was happening.
Well, as long as you pulled away from the pier, I think you're
safe. Yeah, you're in water.
It was
when you're untied, you're in.
It was as they were pulling out. After the whole meeting, they take us down and we stand there and they show us them throwing the brick into the ocean.
Really?
Yes.
Ouch.
Being shredded into the ocean. So right in front of us, that was what I remember even the most of anything. I was like,
no, my weed.
You're going to throw it into the ocean? And I'll keep this for later. But
now you can get around the block.
Luckily, we had another 4 grams of something else. So we were good for the rest of our trip. So then I called my parents because they lived in LA at the time. And they came and picked us up from the ship. But unfortunately, I've been to every state in the U.S., except Alaska because of this, or I would have gone to Alaska. That's my regret, is it's the only state I haven't been to.
Did mom and dad know why you were off the ship?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They knew.
Yes.
They didn't really care. And so Rommel, did you stay in LA? Where were you living before?
Yeah, he stayed at mom and dad's for a little bit and I went to New York. Didn't we audition for Starlight though right away? Or that was later? I went to New York pretty soon and Rommel stayed for a little bit and then he moved in with his friends.
To Starlight, Starlight Express, is the roller skating one?
Yeah.
Oh, in New York or
in Vegas?
Did you guys, how long were you in Starlight?
I did it for a year. Rommel was actually doing the Michael Crawford FX show. When we were in Vegas together, too.
Yeah.
Did you guys know Greg Lobono?
Yes.
Greg Lobono. He was a diesel in Starlight in Vegas.
Yeah. He was after me. I was there the second year.
Okay.
Huh.
Okay. And his brother, Dan Lobono, too.
Dan Lobono, yeah.
Didn't even know he had a brother.
Yeah, who was in entertainment as well. Yeah.
And did you do Starlight before or after you did you were in Atlanta for what was it?
I did Starlight before.
So that was like 96, because I went to visit you at Starlight.
Starlight was 94, 95. Because
really?
I did, in 95, I did the Rockettes after I did Starlight.
I think Leo's right, because Greg was in the first cast with me on, I wasn't in the cast, I was backstage, but he was in the first cast of The Majesty. And I think they only did 2 contracts and then he moved to Vegas and went into Starlight and stuff. So that had to be.
You would have started Starlight in 95, in the summer of 95.
Yeah.
Which, because I left in that summer. Okay. And that's when I went and did, well, other things. But yeah, back to the cruise ship. That was, the craziest thing was us getting fired, really. That was like insane.
Pick it up after they dropped the brick off. And like, how was they just, they're like, all right, here's the port. You guys are gone. See ya. Like,
we actually had another 3 days on the ship.
Okay.
So did they make you work?
I spent the next 3 days coked up and had a great time. And we drank. And I don't know, we were sad to leave our cast members because we were a very tight cast. And we did love those girls a lot. I was a little glad to get off the ship, to be honest with you. I'm not a ship person. I'm not like good at being like, this is where you have to be and you can't leave these walls. And yeah, I think it was actually time.
So I'm assuming then that you probably worked on the way back and you did the shows. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to do the shows.
We did the shows and they brought back 2 guys who had done the shows in the cast before us.
So any other like crazy little stories from your time on board, either one of you?
Oh, I have funny stories about Rommel.
Let's get into one story that each of you have on each other.
On each other, yeah, that'd be good.
I can tell Rommel's story, it's funny. So he was talking about swanning before, right? We had 2 major swanning sections, and it's mostly with old ladies. You know, it's a bunch of old people, and you guys work on ships. A lot of people go to ships to die. And I don't know if people know this, but old people, especially on this Princess cruise that we were on, people would go on to die. Literally, our morgue, I don't know if people know this, but ships have morgues. Our morgue would be full almost every ship. A lot of the cruise lines, a lot of our cruises, the morgues would be full. One time we had a helicopter come and pick someone up and take them away because the morgue was full. Back to the story. We're swanning all old people. I've heard World War II stories from some German woman being raped by Russian soldiers, like all the, you get it all. So we talk to these people and we're very friendly and I enjoy talking to them actually. And I'm really good at, I know all the dances, like the waltz and the swing. And I'm really, I know all those things and I'm good at doing them. I know how to partner really well. And I've always done that well. Rommel does it well too, but a little more wild than I am, I guess. So Rommel would be dancing with the women and he's a little more rough with them than I am. And they're older. And he's dancing with this woman and dancing with her. And we have this like, it's like a swing dance is going on. And he's twirling her and twirling her. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. As he's twirling her, I see that, you know, her dress is sliding and her dress is sliding. And it's actually moving up, not down. And her dress is moving up. The next thing, she's in her pantyhose with her underwear just out. And it's up by her tits, her dress, her skirt at this point. And it's just her pantyhose, underwear, and Rommel, she is happy as can be. Rommel's still twirling her. I'm like out in the, I'm waving, like people, everyone's watching and there, everyone's clapping, and Rommel thinks it's because they're fierce. And then no, it's, she's just out there, everything out. Yeah, that was,
oh my god,
it was great.
Funny.
People loved it.
That's so funny. Okay, Rommel, you have to have some dirt on Leo.
There was the one time that, I don't know, he came back sunburnt. That was really it.
Oh my God, but that was a bad burn. I could also, well, there's a couple of them. Yeah, I did get sunburned really bad to the point where we had quick changes.
Everything. We were handcuffed that one time. The two guys from the band, they handcuffed us. And then they wouldn't like let us, like literally we were going around the cruise ship handcuffed together.
Why? Wait, you need to expand on that.
Screwing around, they put handcuffs on me and Leo and would not like
give us the key.
So
we're like hours.
Hours.
Yes.
Did you go to work handcuffed to each other?
Well, it was time. It was like after everything had been done or something.
Yeah, it was later in the evening.
Like, yeah.
We had early days where we didn't have shows. Yeah. Oh my God, you just reminded me. And well, when Rommel went down, he went down a hill on a motorcycle and cut open his finger.
Oh gosh, yeah.
The thing about the sunburn is that was on Christmas Island.
We went to the original Hula's in Honolulu. Remember that one with the big tree in the middle? The banyan?
The gay bar.
Hula's, Honolulu. It's still there, but it's a different place now.
Well, Rommel fell down on a motorcycle.
Moped.
And like,
we were drunk.
You could see his.
I was mopeding drunk in Honolulu, thinking I could do donuts. And so I got scraped all down, like road rash all down my leg. So we went to Hula's and I had my leg up on the bar stool at the bar and people were buying me drinks. Oh, what happened? Oh, I fell down. Can I buy you a round? Sure. And you know, I got like pity drinks the rest of the night. It was great. Yeah.
But the thing with that was that we had costume changes. The same as my burn situation is that we did costume changes in a matter of like 32 counts, which is very, very fast. I had to do a full face of makeup, of clown makeup, like doing cabaret, the MC, and take it off and do a Vita in the next scene. To take an alcohol wipe on a sunburned face.
Oh.
He was in Christmas Island, which is... on the equator for like 4 hours with no sunscreen.
Because I've never used sunscreen.
Oh, no, that's not a good idea. I've told these guys before, but the most painful sunburn I ever got was on my eyelids. I fell asleep and I had put lotion everywhere except my eyelids.
Oh my God.
My eyelids were just like all puffy and it hurt like a motherfucker. I was like, oh man, that was the worst.
My whole face, it was like, I couldn't do things like, and the makeup, Rommel's was that he couldn't button and unbutton his clothes. And we had to change clothes super fast. You know, cruise ship shows back then were just like change on, change, number, 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 number. And there was only three guys. Like it was a small ship. I could touch the roof of our, oh, that's another thing. Our cruise, our stage, like you could literally, I could touch the roof. I was the tallest person in my cast.
And okay, so you guys can't see him standing up compared to me, but I mean, you're not a lot shorter than me, but he's a little bit shorter than I am, and I'm not tall.
Yeah, I'm my resume says 5'8", people. That's a resume. I'm not very tall, and I was the tallest person on the ship.
Not on the ship, in your cast.
Yes, the reason why I was the tallest person is because I was actually put on a taller ship, and I switched to be put on the short ship with Rommel.
Like the short bus?
Because everybody in that cast was really short.
Well, Scott worked backstage too, dressing. He was a, what was that job called when he first started?
I think they labeled us as stage staff.
like stage stuff, yeah.
Oh, you probably work with people we know then.
Probably.
Well, yeah, because especially because
we originated stage staff.
Oh, you know what? Romel worked with Debbie Sisson in, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah. King's Dominion.
At a theme park.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Debbie yeah. Sisson, definitely.
Especially in
I can't remember the older people. Steve Innes, I think he was a cast.
Steve, member. I remember him.
He was in the cast years before I got there. Debbie yeah. Sisson, Steve Innes, Spark. I just
know somebody. I can't remember his name now. God, it was that hot guy. He was like really muscly.
That's who I'm telling you about. Remember? I think Ross slept with him.
We ran into him at Oil Can Harry's.
Yes. There was the porn star that worked on Royal that we knew. The three of us.
He worked at, yeah, and he worked on Princess too. But I'm not going to say his name.
That's an Eric Ship story right there.
Wait. Just say his name. Say his name.
No, I'm not saying his name. That's not cool.
Well, it's not in a bad
Go on
way.
At him.
Were yes. you on the same
You can say his porn name. Do you know his porn name?
I don't know his porn name.
I don't know his
I do
porn name.
Know. I do. Hold on. I can't remember.
Well, don't even say that because people can look that up. Like,
yeah, that's true. People can look that
like,
up.
Like Jesse Jane. I know Jesse Jane. She actually died a couple of days ago. But she was a super sweet girl. Her name is Cindy Taylor. She was super, super sweet family, but she was like one of the most famous porn stars.
I know her.
Thank you guys for agreeing to do this and coming on. It's great to see you. Well, I've seen Leo more often, but it's great to see you, Romel. It's
you too,
been
Eric.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yes. Scott and Brad.
I wonder if we're going to sound alike in this recording.
I don't know. Do you guys think that we sound alike?
You guys sound exactly alike.
Sound a lot alike.
It is so weird.
Yeah, we sort of look alike too. It's just dark in my house.
Anyhow, okay. We're going to let you guys go. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Leave.
Okay. It's like leave. Oh, that was a lot of fun.
That was so weird.
I'm just curious to see what it's going to sound like now.
Hey everyone, the ship is about to set sail, which brings us to an end for today. We hope that you enjoy the podcast. For bonus audio and if you would like to see this podcast in video, please visit our YouTube channel, My Ship Story. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram as My Ship Story. Don't forget to let us know if you're a past or present crew member, and if you have a story that you would like to tell, or if you like, you can email us your story for us to read on the air. Email us at myshipstorypodcast@yahoo.com. That's myshipstorypodcast@yahoo.com. Goodbye for now, and be sure to tune in next week, same time, as we'll have a new podcast every Monday. Bon voyage!